Well, thank you again for having us here in Kokomo, end of the month. We appreciate your time. This is also the time for budgets. A lot of cities starting to prepare budgets, present budgets. You're not quite yet to presenting, but you're getting close.
We are. We're probably about 3 weeks away from presenting the budget to the city council. We've been meeting with the department heads, kind of refocusing on the difference between wants and needs and priorities. And so we should have something. We're getting close to having it finalized and kind of crunching numbers, but we don't look for any huge shifts in the next year or so, but really kind of stay the course and some tweaks and adjustments between departments.
Well, where are those tweaks and adjustments? I mean, do you go in with something different for every year, saying, you know, we really need to focus on 2017 on this item?
Well, I'll tell you which is not much different. I've been reading about other cities, Evansville and places in particular. It's healthcare costs for city employees. It's been a tough year for us just had some unfortunate circumstances with either our employees or their spouses or their dependents. So we're dealing with that, and we'll have to make some moderate changes that will just those things that we have to continue to adjust with. And so that's really it. And you know, we have a directive. Somebody asked me a couple of years ago, when will we get to the to the operations point where we feel comfortable? And my answer was, well, I hope we really never get there. We should always continue to do a better job and find ways to be more efficient in every single department. And so I think we've gotten the buy-in from the public and with an overwhelming majority of the city employees that we continue to become more efficient and find better ways to operate. So we're always looking at other cities and other units of government, stealing ideas from the private sector, whatever it may be, to put the best product out for the citizens.
And I would say that maybe some cities would also look to Kokomo to see how you're doing your budget, because you're one of the few cities that don't have trash fees or stickers for trash,
right,
or recycling either.
No fees.
No fees at all in that area. How are you able to pull that off?
Well, we've done it, and it's been there's no one answer. We've been able to do this. We have with no user fees. We have weekly trash pickup and bi-weekly recycling, and we do that service through the city. We don't contract that out. And a few years ago, we went to something that I think it helped a lot, reduced by over 20%. We went to single-side trash pickup throughout the city, where we asked our residents to, instead of making two passes up and down the street, two passes up and down the alley, with the exception of major thoroughfares and the more heavily traveled roads, where we could just ask residents to take their trash tote in residential areas across the street so we could make one pass, and we were able to eliminate a lot of the routes, save wear and tear on vehicles, save fuel, and then we can take those savings and then offer the recycling program, the pickup there. So it's been through that and just trying to make sure, we want Kokomo to be the best place to live. And we want it to be an inexpensive place so people can spend their disposable incomes on driving the local economy.
Well, and speaking of recycling, you've recently proposed, I read an article in the Kokomo Tribune about taking over recycling from the entire county,
right,
to oversee it to help reduce costs. Where did all this come about?
Well, by statute, every county has to have a recycling district or participate in a multi-county recycling district. Ours is just Howard County. And I've served on that board since by statute, it's the three county commissioners, a county council member, the mayor of the largest city, a city council member from that city, and then a town board member from any adjacent city or town. And I've served on that board. I just think, you know, as I served on there, I think with the city taking over curbside recycling, the second largest town in Howard County is Greentown. They do curbside recycling. I think their role has changed a little bit, and I think there's a way for us. You know, we've made some bold moves over the last few years. We combined our dispatch, and there was a recognizable savings from doing that, $700,000 by combining county and city of Kokomo dispatch, and that was a proposal we put together. We instituted a free to the rider bus system, and when you look at the 14 cities that have a fixed route bus system in the state of Indiana, we have the least expensive cost per rider, $1.15 per rider. Bloomington actually is the second most cost effective. So that was something we took a little risk there. We acquired a wastewater treatment plant outside of Howard County, Prairie Utilities, just into on the north far on the county line in Tipton County. Acquired that, and we lowered the cost by using our wastewater treatment plant operators to help manage that small neighborhood wastewater treatment plant, saved those people money. So we are always looking at efficiencies inside city government and expanding that. So we've looked at and compared some of the budgets and the responsibilities of other county recycling districts, and we think we can provide a better service to residents, maybe a handful or a few more drop-off locations, things like that for electronics and toxic chemicals, things like that, and maybe do it at combine our resources and do that at a less expensive cost. But we can't subsidize it. We need to do it. So our proposal, they were proposing a $936,000 budget for next year. We said we'd do this, freeze the levy at $825,000. That saves $110,000 straight off the top for taxpayers in Howard County for 5 years. So that's over, when we added up that and potential levy increases, you're closer to $700,000 savings over 5 years.
What would the city have to beef up in any department to be able to handle that increase of responsibility?
I think we can shift the resources and kind of, there are some things we could do that would be no cost or, you know, to have different locations. But you know, it would be some time for our personnel to do some management of those things if we had extra drop-offs. But we also think we can do some things of since we already have employees working different hours, of expanding the hours so that the residents have the facilities open for longer periods during the day.
Now, I wasn't at the meeting. I'm just taking from what I read.
Sure.
From that article, it seemed like there was some skepticism. they didn't vote on it, right? It's up for discussion.
It's up for discussion. They postponed it till the next meeting.
What's the skepticism about?
I think change. It's not. That's always. It's the same resistance. It's the same. Usually, it's the same. It's the politics of politics, and it's the resistance to change, and it's the same people that said it. They always say it can't be done. These are the ones that said we can't do this with our dispatch services. That said we couldn't come in and provide services to Prairie Utilities. When we shifted our ambulance service to our two local hospitals a few years ago, there was outcry from some of the local political figures that it can't be done, and we've done this, and the world didn't come to an end, and so we're always trying to evolve as a city, and so it's nothing that I didn't expect, but I think this is a win for taxpayers. Whether the politicians that sit at the table with me vote for it or not, we'll see next month. But we think it's a win for taxpayers, and this is on the grand scheme of things. You know, we have a 63-ish million-dollar budget, and when we run a wastewater treatment plant for somewhere around $10.5 to $11 million, so. When we deal with dollar figures like $75 million, we can figure out this $900,000 situation here.
Wednesday, I see you're joining other mayors from around the state in a climate leadership summit in Indianapolis. You'll be on a panel sharing some of your local success stories. I think, you know, part of the problem with this, when we talk about budgets with other cities, are so strapped that they don't have that kind of startup fund to get substantive, the green elements sure. going within cities. So how do smaller cities start in getting to the point that they can say they're a greener city?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I always say a lot of things, though, come, you know, I gave this talk a few years ago, and I'd read this somewhere, and I really believe it. If you really want to know, if it's important, then it will become a priority in your budget. And if planting trees are important to any city, you will figure out how to, and there are limitations, but you'll at least find ways to start down that path of becoming greener. So a lot of the things we're doing, right-sizing our streets and roads, taking away as much asphalt as possible, reevaluating our driving patterns so that those could be incorporated with those changes. The less asphalt we have, now you have grass, more permeable surface, helps with runoff, helps, it's less expensive to maintain, narrower streets, for potholes or resurfacing, plowing, all those things. So we're trying to save those maintenance costs by reevaluating. So if you can take a 4-lane road and for a long stretch take it back to a 2 or even a 3-lane road with a center a left turn lane, that's less expensive to maintain. The other thing we've been very aggressive in the last few years here in Kokomo, which to us is low-hanging fruit, but a lot of people don't think about this, but again, it's reevaluating driving patterns. We've taken out about a third of the traffic signals here in Kokomo and went to either four-way stops or two-way stops, re-examined our driving patterns. First of all, it makes it safer for pedestrians. You don't have people hitting the gas and speeding up to make it through two or three consecutive green lights. So that slows it down, makes it more pedestrian-friendly, bicycle-friendly. And, it also saves us money in the electric costs and the maintenance costs associated with that. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. There are some simple ways you can save money and become a greener community. And that's reevaluating traffic signals in some areas that may have warranted a traffic signal 25, 30 years ago, 15 years ago, but not necessarily today.
And we've talked about this before, maybe a couple months ago, a few shows ago, about the solar farm, too, that's coming to Kokomo.
It's under construction now.
Is it right now?
Yeah. They are out probably working today. I know they were yesterday, and it's starting to take shape. So, yeah.
And that's a public-private type partnership, right?
Yeah, basically, that is a former Superfund site, the Continental Steel site. Continental Steel closed 30 years ago, and that became a Superfund site, went through a lot of federal remediation. There are limitations on how that land could be reused. The city acquired it, had it dedicated to the city, so we now have leased that back so the taxpayers get a little bit of revenue from that. We don't have to insure the property, we don't have to mow it, maintain it, have liability insurance, all those things. So we save some money that way, and now we're putting a reusable energy source on that parcel, and so we're excited.
And I read a nice article too in the Tribune about how Kokomo artists are partnering up with downtown businesses to bring more culture, art downtown. And, we always talk about economic development, and we talk about the new Y, and we talk about the new stadium and all that.
Sure.
What are some of those art initiatives that the city tries to look at too to boost that culture?
Well, we're very fortunate in that we do have a lot of great local artists who will roll up their sleeves, and sometimes these are the same people that are involved in the plantings in the spring and the maintenance of our plantings around the city. The Artisan Alley, I think it's been less than a year that we dedicated that between the county building in an alley just on the north side of downtown. So a lot of what they're doing is trying to get, obviously, the public involved in understanding the importance of beautifying our city and making it look better. And I have these discussions from time to time with some people, and it is important to make your community look nice, to make it a welcoming community, and showcase a sense of pride. So I think they've done as good a job as anybody of leading the way.
I see the Jackrabbits are done another season at Municipal Stadium. Had a great crowd, a record-breaking crowd that last game.
Sold out. Yeah.
So was it sold out?
Yeah, they turned people away.
Wow. Are you able to measure or see any of that impact that the stadium is having now on the city?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of it is. I actually went to that last game and had a few people I had that I just don't see very often, but maybe have known for years, that was their first time coming. And I think you can gauge things by dollar value. You can gauge things. There's a lot of ways to gauge things, but I think a lot of it is. There's a lot of sense of pride, and then obviously the economic impact. This year we hosted the state American Legion tournament here, so you had 16 teams from throughout the state of Indiana. We had the All-Star game, the visitors that come to the stadium. We still have high school soccer to be played this fall at the stadium, but the biggest impact will be the construction around there. The Flaherty and Collins apartments we announced about a year ago. You'll start seeing next week the construction fence going up and the rehabilitation of that neighborhood. So, and then we have other developers that are just kind of keeping an eye on things and analyzing. But it now has become a force, that stadium, of possible and hopefully future economic development.
Well, and in terms of unemployment rate, numbers just came out this week, and Kokomo is below state average.
We are. The city of Kokomo, 4.3, better than the state average, better than the national average. And the beauty of that is not only is the unemployment down, but our workforce over the last year has increased by 700. So those are both, sometimes those numbers could compete with each other. The fact you have 700 more people in that pool and it still dips below the state average, we're trending right now in the right direction.
So Brian Clausen, recently accident, passed away,
USAC sprint car driver, and had competed in the Indianapolis 500 at least the last 2 years, maybe the last 3 years. Noblesville native. I think he called Kokomo's track his home. We have a quarter mile dirt track here that has a USAC sprint midget races and sprint cars every week. Big ceremony tomorrow. A lot of people from NASCAR drivers to he was an up and coming young kid, and I say that respectfully, a kid, 27 years old, lost his life much too soon, but it was in an accident out of state. They're having a service for him here in Kokomo at the Speedway, and it's very unfortunate, but he had competed in the Indianapolis 500 the last couple of years and was really seen as a rising star in the automotive racing industry.
When is that service?
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this Wednesday.